tweet at TodaySOR.
As we were discussing with Paul Reid there a few moments ago, there's a big delay in COVID-19 testing here. One of the problems being a shortage of an important laboratory ingredient or reagent, which is in short supply globally. But the Irish Times reports today there may be some good news on that front in the coming weeks. Matt Moran is director of the pharmaceutical industry lobby group Biopharma Chem Ireland. Good morning to you, Matt. Hello, Matt.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can indeed. Yeah, thanks for joining us. Yeah. I know you're not a virologist, but can you just give our listeners a sense of what this reagent is and why it's so important and why it's so scarce?
Okay, this is called lysis buffer, and what it's used to do is prepare a sample before they test it. So in other words, what it does is it breaks open the cell and allows the analyst to check the genetic makeup of the sample and hence identify the virus. So it's quite an important, not the only reagent, but it's a very important reagent in the testing process, and there is a shortage of it.
But I gather there was a positive development yesterday in regard to sourcing a product in Switzerland, which is part of the requirement to supply this. Can you just explain what that's about?
Sure. There's basically an alliance has come together called the COVID Alliance, which is an alliance of biopharma companies, engineering companies and academic institutions. And we're looking at ways that we can assist, I suppose, the country or the HSC in addressing a number of issues. And one of the ones that came to us was the availability of this particular reagent. So what we've been able to do is make the reagent in a laboratory. We've had it approved by one of the hospitals. And now the next stage is trying to manufacture it in, a reaction vessel in a chemical plant. And one of the main challenges we have had in the last 48 hours was sourcing the final material. And we knew that there were 700 kilos of it in Switzerland, but it was a question of getting access to it. And luckily, actually, a locally based supply company, Chemeda, who are based in Clonmel, were able to get hold of that last 700 kilos. And we know that there were five other inquiries that same morning. So we're very lucky to get it. And the next stage now is to bring it into Ireland and then hence try to make the buffer at, I suppose, industrial scale and then make it available to the HSC and to the testing laboratories.
And if you were to translate those 700 kilos that are coming from Switzerland into throughput in the labs, what would that amount to in terms of the number of tests that would be analysed?
Well, it's at least 500,000, Sean. Again, I'm not an expert in this area, but it's at least 500,000. It's not the only reagent that they need, but it certainly will greatly help, we hope, to free up the testing. So we're very happy to be able to support this. The industry views this as a humanitarian effort. It's in the national interest. Companies don't want to be named. It's not a public relations exercise. It's where we can actually bring the industry together and help the industry to assist HSC in the country in any way that we can. And there's a number of other projects they're working on as well, which we hope will help to address this issue that we're trying to deal with at the moment.
A pretty good start if you were able to help with the analysis of 500,000 swab tests. So how soon do you think it might start to flow in terms of product?
It'll be weeks rather than months, Sean. We don't want to rush into it. We have limited raw materials, so when we make it, we want to get it right. And it's important that the product that we make available to HSC is of the correct quality and actually works. So therefore, we're not going to rush, but we do have the process. We now have the materials. Once we can get this material in from Switzerland, it's on its way, as far as I know. We can then start to make it on an industrial scale in one of the companies. So we have a number of chemical companies who would have the capability to make this product. So hopefully we can get those tests up and running as soon as possible.
So would you say maybe by the end of April or even sooner, it'll be available?
Sooner, I would say, Sean. But what we're doing is we're pushing it as fast as we can, as hard as we can, but at the same time trying to ensure that we sustain the quality of what is a very critical reagent. And what we're trying to do here is help. But we're deploying all our resources. The industry has been fantastic. The entire network has come together and supported the effort. And we've had companies from as far afield as Boston, Massachusetts, trying to help us access materials and making their own supply chains and expertise available to this effort. So
yeah,
it's very much in the national interest, and we're very happy to be able to try and help.
Of course, they have their own problems in Boston and everywhere else in the United States.
Where
we are reading reports, Matt, that there is price gouging going on now. Is this something that is going to cost the Irish taxpayer a fortune?
As far as I'm aware, it's not. I mean, I deal specifically with the manufacturing part of the industry, and at the moment, where we're focusing our efforts is trying to keep all our manufacturing plants open. because, as you know, they're global sourcing locations, and the whole issue of trying to keep supply chains moving and manufacturing open is really, I suppose, using all our energy at the moment. But at the moment, most of the plants are producing, we're complying with the public health guidelines, and maintaining manufacturing and maintaining, I suppose, supply of what are often vital medicines is a real challenge for us, and one which is, I suppose, taking all our efforts at the moment.
Yeah, but I read that it possibly is going to be made available to the state at production cost or even below that.
Below that, yes. No, this is not a commercial exercise for us. So the majority of it would probably be done on a pro bono basis. So
okay, well, look, that's good to know. Matt, we'll let you back to your important work. Thank you indeed for joining us. That's Matt Moran there, Director of the Pharmaceutical Industry Lobby Group, Biopharmachem Ireland. On the line now is Joseph Musgrave, Chief Executive of Home and Community Care Ireland. It's emerging today, Joseph, that home carers could be redeployed to nursing homes in the fight against COVID-19. Now, tell me how that would work and how is it going to affect people on home care?
Hi, Sean. So it's good to be with you. The way it will work is that if carers volunteer to go into nursing homes, we understand from the HSC they have a real problem right now in managing staffing in nursing homes, and we're willing to help. That if staff volunteer to do so, we'll make sure they get the proper training and can be deployed on a temporary basis to nursing homes for that reason. This is part of a wider package of measures. One of the problems we faced over the last month is that the government HSC had a policy of only paying for the first 2 days that a client self-isolates, which meant a carer only got paid for those first 2 days. And we have 3,200 clients or so self-isolating at the moment, so you can see the problem that creates. That policy is now being changed so that carers will get fully remunerated when a client self-isolates. And it's hoped that by this change in policy, we can free up some capacity in the system to help out our colleagues in the nursing home sector. In terms of clients receiving care right now, the HSC have informed us that they will be contacting clients and in consultation with them, suspending services where it's deemed that the client with family supports can continue to get supported on a temporary basis before care through home care providers is resumed.
So do I correctly understand you to mean that maybe people who are in less serious need of home care, and goodness, everybody who's getting it is in need of it, but that the less severe cases, if I could describe them thus, will find themselves with no home care at all other than what relatives and family can provide?
Yeah, well, what the HSC have told us is, and we've been working with them for a couple of weeks to try and classify the client base into one of four categories. And the HSE make the final determination on this with clients themselves. Someone who's in a Category 3 or Category 4 is, in the HSE's eyes, deemed to have family or friends or supports close by them right now, with so many of us self-isolating or not working, that they can, for a temporary period of time only, have their care suspended to free up additional staff resource to either go into nursing homes, which, you know, have a huge trouble right now, or deal with those incredibly vulnerable people, the most vulnerable, who under no circumstances can have their care withdrawn.
Because one would have thought, and yes, there are these four categories, as you've explained, but that everybody in any of those categories is in need of home care, and the amount of home care then is reflected by their category.
Yeah, you know, this is, you know, Sean, look, we accept this is an unprecedented crisis, and as the Minister said, we can't operate in silo, and so we're trying to answer that call to be as collegiate in across the healthcare sector as we can.
Yeah.
That said, you know, it is unfortunate that the HSC need to make this step, but at the same time, you know, Paul Reid's team, they're the experts, they're telling us that they need to free up capacity, they've made this decision, and at a certain point, with an unprecedented global pandemic, You have to show willing, and we hope that it's only where absolutely necessary clients who can get additional supports through other means have a temporary suspension of the care for. I hope it's only in a matter of, you know, weeks and not months.
What about your own carers, the people working as carers? How are they being affected, have you got a sense, by COVID-19?
Well, we have around, I'm just going to have the figures in front of me. We have around 400 carers who are self-isolating because they suspect they've come into contact with COVID-19. We have a handful of cases that we are treating in the community right now. This is from all ages, mostly in the younger age demographic, people with complex needs of one type or other. So it's very real, and we know it's going to become more real, Sean, over the next couple of weeks. Whilst we're willing, you know, and we're going to be engaging with the workforce to see if any want to volunteer to work in nursing homes, we're going to see more and more cases right. of COVID-19 in the community.
But just clarify one thing for me. I mean, if people are self-isolating, are they just basically not in a position to benefit from the home care in any event?
Well, the sort of supports that can be provided are things like grocery shopping, medication prompts, and frankly, even just a call, whether it's, you know, knocking through the window or whether it's putting in a phone call to somebody. So there are things that can be done to support these people. But you're right, there's a certain segment of the client base who ordinarily, but I think this is a very, very small section of the client base, Sean, who ordinarily would receive a home care into them for a very brief period to help out with, you know, certain tasks that for the moment can probably, you know, in their own view, it's safer for them just to truly self-isolate rather than have someone else potentially bringing contamination of the COVID virus into their home.
Okay, well, look, thank you very much indeed for joining us. That's Joseph Musgrave there, Chief Executive of Home and Community Care Ireland. Dr. Gerry Cowley, GP in Mulroney, County Mayo, former TD, of course, is on the line. Gerry, good morning to you.
Good morning, Sean.
What's the situation down there as you're seeing it in your practice?
I was very interested in the last speaker there. People just don't want people coming into their houses, and people that have carers, they're saying, stay away, stay away. We don't want to get this coronavirus. So people are scared out of their wits. Everybody's scared, but, you know, we have to look at the future, and we believe it's going to be really bad in 2 or 3 weeks' time. So we have to plan for that, prepare for that. But it is difficult, there's no doubt about it. The work is always there. But now we have hospital appointments cancelled, so we have palliative care are not going out either, and antenatal people are not being seen, so we see them all. So we are very busy. But it's a different type of approach. We're doing a lot more phone medicine, if you know what I mean. And that is different, but we're managing okay.
Yes, and how are you managing, for instance, you know, when you do have to see and assess patients face to face, how are you managing for personal protective equipment, for instance?
Well, it was challenging, but I think things are improving. We can't get gowns at the moment, but I put in an order for gel and gloves and disposable aprons and surgical masks and so on, but no gowns are available as yet. Still have a few, so it's not critical. But our district nurses here have a total lack of PPE equipment. They get a pack and they're told to assess any case that might need a second pack, and then they have to requisition it from Castlebar, which could be 30 or 40 miles away. So they do need help because it's all old people they're going into, and they're often using the same mask again and again because they have maybe the one mask they
yeah.
got.
Now, one thing that Paul Reid told us several minutes ago, Gerry, was that whatever about delays in testing, people have the assurance that the hospital system is there available to them on a continuing basis. So have you had occasion maybe to just refer people directly to hospital because of concerns you might have had about respiratory issues or whatever?
Yes, I had. And of course, every respiratory issue is treated now as possibly COVID. And I have to say, the service we've got from Castlebar is excellent. The manager there, Catherine Donoghue, she has totally reorganised the hospital. She has a separate entrance now for A&E, let's say non-COVID, and another entrance for A&E COVID. So the pathway is going through the hospital where people can walk so they don't sort of meet each other. So I think they've done awfully well locally here. Of course, the big thing is going to be in 2 or 3 weeks' time when we get the peak, whether they'll be able to cope. But I think people have done awfully well, and I have to say the people around here have done extremely well. 2 or 3 weeks ago, you could go down there at the start of all of this, and the beach was packed with cars. There's not a house vacant in Achill or around here. Holiday houses are all full up, people are coming back from wherever. But they're not out and about now since the new regulations have come in. People are staying in, which is wonderful. It's like a ghost town, which is so important, and people are hand washing, people are keeping their physical distance outside. So I'm fierce impressed. It's amazing what can be done. And even you're talking there about the issue as regards the nursing homes. Well, you know, we're involved in Earth in Brindon's Village, which is a high support 30-bedded unit together with sheltered housing. But staffing is a problem. We don't have any coronavirus in our high support unit, thanks be to God. We're a community, not for profit. We have 50 staff in the unit, and we have CE staff outside, about 15, so that's 65 staff altogether. But we're planning for the future, but we were very worried about staff, and I'm aware of another nursing home who have great difficulty getting staff, and once they get a case, that's it. Staff start pulling out big time. So I'm delighted to hear this initiative. And the big problem was, and always the worry was, it was like trying to turn a liner around to try and get a member of staff joined up in a high support unit or a nursing home.
Okay.
The reason is because Garda clearance takes 2 or 3 weeks, but now, wonderfully, that's all abolished. So I think that's a great move.
Okay, Gerry Cowley, GP in Mulroney, thank you very much indeed for joining us.